Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 315, and we finished last time Leviticus 26, where God, through Moses, is telling the children of Israel, if they are going to obey Him, obey His commandments, walk in His path, they are going to be, in essence, under grace. In other words, He's going to bless them for it. It's not something they deserve, but they had to do their part. And if they would not do it, He's going to punish them, and He's going to abhor them. And as we mentioned, also the fact that a lot of people do not necessarily comprehend properly, you know, this concept of hate. He's going to hate their behavior, their conduct, and since what we think and what we are is us, therefore the hatred is directed toward them. And so when He says, "My soul abhors you," when you abhor someone, you don't love someone, you hate someone. You see? But we have to understand the nature of that hate, and because that is not understood, a lot of people, you know, may have a difficult time understanding it. And so I think it's important to go through some scriptures, both in the Old and mainly in the New Testament, to comprehend that, because some people think, well, when you come to the New Testament, and you know, all these things, you know, are not allowed anymore, and you don't do it. Well, let's look at it from God's point of view, the way He explained it, because a lot of people, if they do not study the mind of God, the entirety of it, they may misunderstand it. And they see contradictions in that. Just like, you know, the proverb of Solomon, where he says, "Answer a fool according to his folly," and then he gives the explanation for it, why, you know, lest he be wise in his own deceit. And then he continues by saying just the opposite, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly." You see? And, you know, some people are not able to discern the way the Bible is written and the intent of it. They may have a difficulty with that. So they see contradictions. And there are many other places where people may see contradictions in that. And so it's important to understand the fullness of the concept of it. You see? Because God wants us to love one another, to serve one another, you see. He is the God of love, but also He's the God of emotions. He created our emotions, and if we hate, it's because we got it from Him. And God hates sin. He hates evil. He hates wickedness. And when people become wicked, and they embody, or they personify, by their behavior and conduct, their emotions and feelings, their whole way of life, we're not talking about, you know, now and then somebody makes a mistake. But when people practice sin, walk in sin, do evil things, God hates them. You see? And it's not the kind of hatred that is contrary to love. It's a part of love. You see, God is still love when He abhors us, when His soul does love us. You see? He's still God of love. And a lot of people, obviously, not having, you know, the ability to discern this matters, they get confused by that. Well, anyway, let's go through some scriptures so we can illuminate a little bit this thing, and then we'll this subject of hate and love. In essence, you might say, how do you define the difference between love and hate? Well, by the end results. If what you do, you see, if what you do is going to cause damage, not good, ultimate damage, you see, and hurt, well, obviously, what we have done, or what we do, or what I do, is not love, it's hatred. A lot of people don't understand that. And if what we do, the ultimate purpose and the end result of that, though it may not seem to be at the moment that way, is going to produce good, then it was love, though it has been perceived as hatred. And that's oftentimes what happens, and people do not comprehend that, and so people, you know, they think God hates them, or the people, other people hate them. Or children who are being spanked, or teenagers, you know, are being grounded, or whatever it may be, by their parents, the thing that the parents hate them, they fail to see the love behind it. And they're confusing love with hatred. And oftentimes people do that. And many people do not understand God because of that. That's the reason why people looked at the Old Testament, you know, what people call the Old Testament, and saw a lot of these instances of the way God dealt with His people or the nations, and they called Him the old harsh monster. You see, those are people who basically were misinformed. They did not understand what they were reading. They did not see the whole picture. So it's always important to see the whole picture before we make a conclusion. And a statement of Jesus Christ, for example, where he was saying in Matthew, if somebody calls a man a fool, he says he's going to be brought to judgment. And yet we hear, or we read later on, the Apostle Paul, when he talks about the resurrection to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, in essence, he's using this statement, you fool. In other words, for people do not understand the process of resurrection. Well, does that mean that the Apostle Paul is under judgment? Well, we have to understand what was the intent when that terminology was used. You see? And when people do not understand that, they just take a statement, and in that sense it becomes out of context at face value, and they fail to understand the totality of it, and they render judgment, and generally it is a wrong judgment. And so it's important always to know the entirety of the context and the whole in order to make judgment on parts of what we read. And most people by nature do not do it. In Matthew 5, where Jesus Christ talks about traits and qualities and ways of behavior and the consequences, now, this is what he says, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, you'll never see it in the Bible, this statement. You see, this is something that was a part of the culture. Because if you go to kill your enemy, how can you kill your enemy if you love him? You see? Well, obviously, you have to hate your enemy in order to kill him. What is it that you hate about your enemy? When Moses sent Israel to go and totally decimate, blot out from under heaven, several commands that God gave them about Amalek and about all the nations that were in the land of Canaan, telling them, you kill men, women, and children, no pity, no mercy. You see? Now, can you go over there, with the usual concept of love, and say, oh, I love you, so I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill your babies, and things like that? Obviously not. You have to go with hatred, or else you cannot do it. You see? You don't go with affection and affinity and love and tenderness and kindness and you just butcher them and hack them to pieces. You see? You go with hatred. What is it that you hate? You see? You have to understand that. What is it that you hate? What is it that God told them to go and destroy out of hatred? You see? Their way of life. Demonic way of life. So what you destroy is in essence the work of the devil. And God commanded us to hate evil, you see? And so they hated evil and they destroyed them. And it's not the hatred, where they were good people, nice people, and you went and committed an act of hatred. That's a different thing, and this is what people don't understand, and they mix the two. And they do not comprehend, and therefore, they do not have the proper understanding. And so it says here, in 4:3, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now he says you are going to act differently at this point. But even then, if you do not understand the totality of the concept, you are not going to comprehend that. Because the same Jesus, later on, you see in the book of Revelation, coming as the wrathful lamb, to bring much destruction on this earth. And if people misunderstand this statement here and then they go to Revelation, they say, well, that could not be the same person. Because it said, love your enemy. Well, this is what he said, but what did he mean by that? And that's what people do not understand. You see? And it's important to understand the entirety of the subject. And so people look at that and then they create a set of rules and regulations and ways to understand things and, they develop, character in a certain way. You see? And then they say, I cannot hate any enemy, no matter what he did to me, what she did to me, and things like that. Hatred is not allowed because God said you should not hate. Jesus Christ said you should not hate. So they call it Christian doctrine that was not in the Old Testament. You see? Well, that's misunderstanding what he's talking about here. What concept of hate is he talking about? You see? What's the end result of that? Because all the people that see Jesus Christ come and pours his wrath on them, Aaron, don't you say, oh, he loves us. Look at the affection he has for us. And he blots us out from under heaven, and he tortures us, and he torments us, and they curse him. You see, because they have a false concept of what love is and what hate is. And so it's important for us to understand that, because many of us, when we are in trouble, without realizing it, you know, we accuse God, and that's hatred. We think that he's evil, and we think that he's malicious and wicked. A lot of people are under this, you know, false concept and misunderstanding, are going to function that way and curse God. You see, so what does he mean by that? It's important to understand the fullness of it. Mostly, what he's talking about here is basically, your enemies, other people around you, you know, neighbors, friends, things like that. You see? And he's not talking about people that are full of wickedness and viciousness and malice and darkness and evil and all that. And God commands you at a certain time, well, that's going to be the first job of the saints with Jesus Christ, to go and destroy an awful lot of human beings, men, women, and children, without mercy. You see? A lot of people are going to have a difficult time doing it if they do not understand the mind of God and the nature of God and the entirety of the picture, because that seems to be as a contradiction. You see, and that's what the humanists are all about. They look at it from a human point of view, not the divine point of view, not the totality of the concept, and they totally misunderstand it, and so they become, in essence, perverted in their minds, and they accuse God of being evil and harsh and wicked and evil, and, you know, and all kind of things like that. So, it's important for the people of God, who are going to be of God, not just in name, people of God, but to have the nature and the mind of God, to understand the nature of God so they can function that way and develop that nature and not a perverted nature. You see? And just like the Proverbs would say, as Solomon said, he that spares the rod hates his son. Now people think, how can that be? You know, if I love my son, you know, I don't want to spank him, I don't want to beat, you know, the tars out of him or whatever, or the tears or things like that. And so they, you know, they withhold their hand and they let him get away with this and that and the other thing because they love him. God says, no, that's hatred. Because people do not understand the concept of hatred and love properly. And so they mix one for the other. And that's deception. You see, that's not the mind of God. And so we have to understand, as we said earlier, the outcome, you see, the end result of what you are doing will really determine whether what you have done was hatred or love. And even though at the moment it is hatred in the sense of hatred of the evil, you're not doing it because you just want total destruction like the devil. He's not interested in anybody coming to repentance. And so he's not going to bring calamity and misery on people in order to drive them to righteousness. No. He does it out of pure hatred that is not the kind of pure hatred that comes out of the heart of God when he punishes us. You see? God hates the evil. That's why he hates what we have become, what we are. Satan loves evil. And so his hatred is of a different nature. And it's important for us to understand the difference between the two. And it's because people confuse the two that they begin to accuse God whenever things go wrong for them. And they don't realize God is in the process of healing us. It's an act of love, not an act of hatred. Though he may be furious with us and angry and pours his wrath and fury on humanity, what is the reason for it? To bring them to their sanity so he can bless them and give them his spirit and plant his nature in them so they can be his sons and daughters and live forever. You see, and unless we understand that, we're going to be mixed up. It's very important to go through that and comprehend it fully. And so that's what he says. I sent you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, because these are your future brothers and sisters, you see. So the intent of the blessing of all these enemies, you know, people that are around you naturally, you see, how do you bless them? You bless them, you know, by asking God to open their eyes, to give them sanity, to restore their mind so they can think properly. And that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And that's a blessing. It's not a curse. You see? And that's what he's trying to make people understand. You see? Yes, you know, now and then you have to spank them and do certain things that may seem to be as hateful to them. You see? And all the fury that Jesus Christ is going to pour on planet Earth, and all the fury that the saints along with him are going to pour on planet Earth, is out of love, not of hatred. You see? It is hatred of evil. You see? but love for the person on an ultimate basis and aiming for the outcome. You see? And, you know, sometimes it may look like a fine line between the two, because certainly when somebody comes up to you and hacks you to pieces, or your child, or your wife, or whatever it may be, that doesn't look like an act of love. And yeah, that's exactly what God does to His own people when He brings enemies to do that to them. You see? And people, not having the understanding and the comprehension between the two and the purpose of the end result of that, they hate God for it. And that's why we are told, do not be discouraged. You know, don't be upset, you know, when God spanks you, when He rebukes you, when He chastens you, because whomsoever the Lord loves, He rebukes, you see, and chastens. And though it may seem to us as hatred, yes, it is hatred against the evil that we are committing. And since we love that evil and walk in it, we become evil, and the hatred is directed at us, not somebody else. But on the other hand, we have to understand what's behind it. And therefore, that which is hatred momentarily is actually perpetuated by the desire for love. And the ultimate would be love and not hatred. While with the devil, it's totally, you know, just different. He wants just destruction, that's all. He's not interested in our welfare, and he couldn't care less. You see, it's with that in mind that the physician, you know, that puts you in, or the surgeon puts you on the table and cuts you to pieces. Why? Not because he hates you, though it looks like that at the moment. You see, it causes you pain. But the end result of that is to heal you. You see, that's the way we have to understand the concept of hate also. And so that's what we read here. And let's look, go to the book of Luke and chapter 14. Well, we see something that seems to be just the opposite of that statement that Jesus Christ made. In verse 26 we read, if anyone, you see, when he sees the multitude that comes after him, and it's interesting the way it is described, he's walking down the road. Before that, he spoke, he told all kind of things, and then he's walking down the road. And verse 25, and a great multitude went with him. So, you know, the following, because they want to hear, you know, the words of life, the words of truth and all that. And he stops, you know, and he turns around. It says, and he turned and said to them. So as they follow him, he just stops there and he turns around and he talks to them. And what he says hits him, you know, hits them between the eyes. And they're totally confused by that. After all, this is the very one that just said, love your enemy. Now look what he says here. Verse 26. If anyone comes to me, that is to follow me, to obey my voice and commandments, to develop my nature and character, to become like me, who is willing to take the cross and just follow me in this path that I'm walking, the way of life. And so he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yeah, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And people look at that and say, that's crazy. It, you know, teaches us to love our enemies and then turns around and says to hate our own wife and children, father and mother and all that. That doesn't make sense. And of course it doesn't make sense if you look at it from a human point of view, and that's what the humanism is all about. You look at everything from a human point of view. We have to look at it from the divine point of view. What is he talking about here? You see, he's not talking about, you know, against the command that he gave himself. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, love your enemy. That's not what he's talking about here. If your father and mother and children, brothers and sisters, anybody, doesn't matter who, if they're walking in a way that is contrary to God, you have to despise their way of life. Hate it. And since we are what we think and what we feel, you have to hate them. If you're going to follow me, that's what he's saying to them. You see? So, when people do not understand that, the context, the meaning, what he's talking about here, they totally get confused. And they say, this man is confused. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He tells me to love my enemy, and then turns around and tells me to hate my father and my mother. And people do not want to follow a man like that. You see? A lot of people do not want to follow God. They read at that and they stumble at that. Well, people have always stumbled at the Word of God when they did not understand it. They did not comprehend it. They did not look at the whole thing. They did not have the overview. They did not see the end result. You see? And just like somebody going in and shooting the surgeon because the surgeon said he's going to cut you to pieces in order to heal you and remove the cancer. Well, he don't do that. Why? Because you know the end result of what he's doing, so you do not accuse him personally of hating you. You see? Now, what happens when you don't think properly that way when it comes to the punishment of God or matters like this? You see? Then you just don't know how to function properly. And that's when people hate God. That when he chastens us and rebukes us, we think that he hates us when in essence he loves us. That's why he does it. You see? But we do not see things like that, and we have to. Because if we don't, we're going to get to the point like the people who curse God. Well, if you have, you know, developed this kind of an attitude, that's how the archangel who was holy and perfect and pure and righteous and the glory of the creation of God, Lucifer, became the devil. You know, he might say, you know, he began to use the humanistic way of looking at things. And he thought God was evil and wicked. And so he turned light into darkness and darkness into light, because in his own mind he thinks that's right. The evildoers think they're right. They think you are evil. You see? And that's how people think about God. And many of us, if we're not careful, we're going to think the same way too, especially when the screws are tightened against us. You see? First thing, you know, we begin to do is complain and grumble and gripe. Well, if God is love, well, how come? You know, how come he took my son? How come he took my daughter? How come, you know, this and that and the other thing? And people develop a root of bitterness, and they hate God in their heart, and they depart from him. I don't want anything to do with a God like that. You see? And how many people you know that function that way? And if we're not careful, we are those people. So let's understand what God is talking about. Let's understand the nature of hatred and love, and therefore we'll understand all the nature of all the curses that God is going to bring on his own children, that he loves them, for whom he gave the very life of their creator, the one that became his son. For God so loved the world. You see? Not God so hated the world. But in the process of loving the world, as I said, I'm going to give you life, you see, eternal, but with tribulation, with persecution. And we think, well, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. It's a process of refining. And so Peter has to tell us, and many others, don't think it's strange, you know, all those fiery trials that come upon us. And some of those fiery trials were horrible, horrible trials. As some of the servants of God or the followers of God were crucified, butchered, taken to the arena, raped. Oftentimes, you know, the Romans used to train animals to rape women. They were raped, you see, in the arena. And you look at that and says, how can that be love? You know, how can a loving God do things like that to his own children? You see? The God that told them that, if you know, you have to overcome unto death. And some people accuse the father. How can a loving father allow his son to go through that? If he is love, how can he allow that? That's misunderstanding, you see. That's ignorance. That's blindness on the part of people who do not understand the nature of love and hate. You see? And so it's important for us to understand it. So do not point the finger at God, because oftentimes we do it, especially when we are in pain. That's the first thing we do. Well, how come you don't do anything about it? What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? You know, if you're love, and so forth. It's important for us to have a proper understanding of that. Let's go now to the book of John. In the book of John, 1 John actually, the apostle of love, where everybody thinks, well, all John talks about is only love, 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 love. And they forget about the commandments, you see, that he talks about an awful lot. Much of what he talks about is the commandments, because that's what Paul says very plainly, and people don't understand it. Love is the fulfillment of the commandments. And yet people think, well, commandments are horrible and are good for us. They tell us what to do. They're harsh, you see. And so they really do not understand what it means, the apostle of love. Their concept of love is totally different. It's a perverted one, you see. And it's important to, again, you know, understand it properly. And so in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9, we read this: he who says he is in the light, that is, walks in righteousness according to the commandments of the laws of God, and hates his brother, is in darkness until now. And some people say, well, how? Oh, okay, this is now we're talking about, you know, the difference between hate and love. And again, they do not really understand what he's talking about. What kind of hatred is he talking about? The hatred that just seeks your destruction, that's it, period. You see? Or the hatred that seeks to redeem you, you see, while hating what you are. You see? Hating your evil deeds, your nature, your character, your feelings, your thoughts and emotions that are polluted and defiled, and that you hate. So it's sort of a love-hate relationship mixed together, but you have to understand exactly what it means. We're not talking about demonic or, you know, satanic love. We're talking about godly love and godly hatred. Now, this is what we have to learn and know the difference between the two. And this is what he says here. And then verse 11, he adds, but he who hates his brother, that is his brother or sister or anybody, neighbor, is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So it's talking about people who walk totally in darkness in the hatred of the devil, which is total darkness. You see? The hatred of God is to drive you into the light. And that's the end of the tunnel. God is pushing you in that direction, you know, kicks you in the, in your pants, you know, so to speak, your rear pants, in order to push you toward the light. Well, the kick itself, you know, may seem to be, you know, an act of hatred on the part of people. But if they realize where it is leading you, you would have realized, no, that's good for me. That's love. Now you begin to understand love. Love is not just sweet, nice, in us all the time and all that. Love sometimes is smacking you between the eyes and crushing you to pieces. You see? To bring you to your sanity. And even if it means death, then God brings you out of the grave. And then he says, okay, now let's talk. And then you realize what was it all about. And you thank God for it. Because now you see the end results. And for the joy that is ahead of us, we must endure the hatred of God. The punishment of God. The spanking of God. You see? Because what he hates is not what he wants us to be, what we should be, what we can be, what we are going to be. It's what we are, which is not of him. And so we have to distinguish between the two. And if we don't, then we do not understand hatred and love. And we do not understand the scriptures. And most people really do not understand, those who call themselves Christians, they don't understand what they call the New Testament, the writings of the disciples or of Jesus Christ, if they have no comprehension of the difference between love and hate and the nature of it and what it really means and what's the purpose of it. You see? That's why they equate everything, you know, in the Old Testament, where they see the punishment of God to the old harsh monster. Oh no, it was a loving God who was doing it. And it's a loving God, a loving Jesus Christ, who is going to pour his wrath and fury as he has never, ever done before on all planet Earth. You see, where the overwhelming majority of human beings in a horrible way are going to be tormented and tortured and killed and destroyed and maimed and raped and all those things. And they would never be able to comprehend it because of that, because they really do not know the nature of God and the nature of hatred and love. And the end result of it, and the purpose of it. You see? When you study the law of God, you begin to understand that. You begin to understand the nature and the mind of God. And you do not gripe, you know, and grumble and complain and all that when all kind of bad things happen to you. But you understand the love of God is in motion. It's functioning. That's the end result of it. You see? Through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom. And it is not out of hatred. You see that God is doing it for us. It is out of hatred of evil that we have become, that he's doing it in order that the ultimate will be good. And then you begin to understand what love is all about. You see, a lot of people do not have that understanding because they are babes and they remain that way. And babes, little children, when they get spanked, they don't understand it. In their own mind, you hate them. That's the only way they can see it. And if that's the way we function, we're children, little babes. We never grow up, and yet we're commanded to grow up. And when you grow up, you're willing to take pain and suffering and torment and torture and persecution and even death, realizing the end result. And for the joy that is ahead of you, you're going to take that. You see, without complaining and griping and hating God, but with submission. And you're going to rejoice in the trials that come, not because, you know, it's sweet, nice, and pleasurable. You know, after all, we are not masochistic, you know, things like that. But because we realize the end result of it. You see? It's painful to go to the dentist and have your tooth pulled out, you know, and drilled and things like that. You know, you don't take a gun and shoot the dentist. You understand the end result of that, and you're happy with the end result. You see? That's one way to understand love. Not what you go through at the moment that seems to be as if he hates you and he's after you. And this is what he's talking about here. People who hate of the wrong, you know, with the wrong nature, not interested really in helping their brother. You know, that's not the reason why they spank their brother. They just hate them, period. That's it. That's the end of it. You know, that's the nature of the devil. And that's what he's saying. People who function only that way, not in order to bring somebody to repentance, not in order to heal, not in order to drive them back into your bosom, into your arms. You just hate them, period. So there's a difference between hatred and hatred. And we must know the difference. You see? Otherwise, we're going to abhor the nature of God. And certainly, we're not going to be with Him. And people like that are, unfortunately, you know, these are the people that are going to be blotted out from the book of life. If their names are there, you see, and they're not going to be in His kingdom because their hatred of God, you see, and their misunderstanding of God is demonic, not godly. And so they're not willing to submit to His correction and to His chastening and punishment, and they just look upon Him as a wrathful, hateful monster. You see? And to think the devil is a good guy. That's how warped and perverted people can become if they listen to the wrong voice and they misunderstand the nature of God. And so this is what he's saying here. And then let's go to chapter 3 and verse 15, where it tells us again, whoever hates, anybody who hates his brother, and again understand what hatred is talking about, demonic, not godly. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And if you do not understand the nature of hate and love, and do not understand the nature of God, you're going to misunderstand this statement. And therefore you think, well, anybody he hates, period, is evil, is a murderer. Well, if you're going to think that way, then God is in this category. And Jesus Christ is in this category. He's a murderer. After all, he murders people. You see, he takes his life, you know, their life away from them. He sends enemies to go and butcher them and kill them and all that. He's going to pour his wrath and fury. He's going to allow, and he allowed the devil all the 6,000 years to haunt us and torment us and afflict us. He's the ultimate murderer. You see? Well, that's what the devil wants people to think of God. By twisting, you know, this understanding, this knowledge, just a little bit. And people are drunk with this hatred and then, you know, this darkness, and they hate God. So let's understand, you know, the scriptures with the light of God, not with the darkness of the devil. And unfortunately, an awful lot of people are studying the scriptures with the darkness of the devil and not with the light of God. They've got the wrong magnifying glass, the one they borrowed from Satan instead of the one they, you know, they get from God. And they totally misunderstand that. And so a lot of people, they really cannot stomach many things that God says. They hate it. And oftentimes they are the spiritual leaders who cannot stomach many things that they read because they do not understand it. You see, they're blind, they're ignorant, and so they're projecting their blindness and ignorance and speak as if they are more humane, more godly, more righteous, more loving and kind than God Himself. And they, in essence, teach people to abhor and hate God, you know, parts of the nature of God. And this is the attitude and the spirit that enter into the hearts and the minds of people to cause them to abhor and hate the law of God. And how many of us are in this state of mind? At least now and then. In chapter 4 and verse 20, he says again, the apostle of love, John, but the apostle who really understood what love is, not, you know, the understanding that people have. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? You see, and if you do not understand this statement and the difference between love and love and hate, you're going to have a false doctrine, a false nature, a false character, and a lot of people like that will come before Christ and He will tell them, get out of here, I don't even know you, you are lawless. You see, just like Solomon says, the wise King Solomon, if you spare the rod, you hate your son. And people say, oh no, how can that be? You see? Well, people like that are lawless, and there are people who allow their kids to get away with murder, and they become murderers. And they thought, oh, What wrong have I done? I've done nothing but good to this child. I gave him everything he wants or she wants, and look what they turned to be. And they don't see any reason to accuse themselves for being responsible for the state of mind of their children, who are given everything they want, so they develop that selfish nature. And say they don't get their way, you know, they turn against you. And they're the ones responsible. So all their, in essence, love was actually hatred, you see. When what basically would have been perceived as hatred on the part of the child, that they, you know, whacked him, you know, now and then, was actually love. And people are totally confused. And so when we read this statement, let's understand what he's talking about and what he's not talking about. And people do not have the spirit of discernment, even the human spirit of discernment, they say they don't comprehend that. And they're totally mixed up. So it's important to put it all together and have a proper comprehension of that. Now let's go to the book of Matthew again, to the words of Jesus Christ, what people call the Sermon on the Mount. It was a very long session here, in which he said many things, and if people do not have the context and the background, you know, the knowledge of the law in its proper way, from the beginning until the end, you know, they come to these statements here, they really are not going to understand them, because God does not change. He was not converted at this point and began to talk differently and brought a new religion. This is what he was all the time. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You see, this is not an improvement, you know, in the Old Testament. It is the same law. It is now magnified, so people can understand it, which they did not understand before that. And so that's what he's saying here in chapter 5 and verse 22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause, and that's the difference. If what you do is without a righteous cause, you see, righteous indignation, righteous hatred, that's what the problem is. And that's what people do not understand. So if we are going to be angry with your brother, and when you're angry with your brother, by nature you hate your brother. You say you don't love your brother, that's not the time for affinity and kissing and hugging and all that. When you're angry with someone, you hate someone. The two go together, anger and hatred. And there is an evil hatred, an evil anger, and an evil malice. You see, well, malice is always bad. You see, there you don't have a difference. Malice is malice, you know, all bad. But when it comes to anger and hatred, there is righteous anger. There is righteous indignation. There is righteous hatred. You see? And there is an unrighteous love, too. Where you love, and it's not really love, you know. God says love. Love your neighbor, and you say, okay, well, you know, there's a beautiful woman next door, I'm going to love her. That's an unrighteous love. Or if you spare the rod from your son or daughter, and they're going to turn into criminals, that's an unrighteous love. So we have to understand the difference between righteous and unrighteous. That which has a cause, you see, why do you hate your brother? It's because of what he is. And so you want to do something about it, help that person, and you do something about it, because, you know, that's the law of God. Just like in the case, you know, when you go to Canaan, you destroy everybody, you see. Or when God, you know, commands us to go and destroy and kill and afflict humanity, when he comes, you see, you read it in Psalm 149 and 150, this honor he gives to his saints to bind, you know, the leaders of the nations, you know, the evildoers, to bring destruction on them. And Psalm 2, he talks about the power that he's going to give to his saints to shatter the nations to pieces, you see. Well, that is going to be perceived as hatred, but it's not. It's to bring them to their senses, and that's love. And it's important to understand the difference. And so here it says, but I say to you that whosoever is angry or hateful, you see, that means hate, not hateful, in the wrong way, but hate, and it can be hateful, but in the right way, whosoever is angry or hates his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. But if it is with a cause, that's in essence what he's saying here, that's a different story. He can be angry. Be you angry. That's even the command, as Paul says. Be you angry, but do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You see? It's okay to be angry. It's okay to hate. It's okay to be wrathful. But what's the intent of it? What's the purpose of it? Just to hold a grudge in your heart, and no matter what, you're going to hate? What is the purpose of your hatred or anger or wrath? And that's what he says, don't let the sun go down. In other words, it's not just hatred, period, or anger, period. I'm angry at you, you know, and get out of my sight. I never want to see you. Now that becomes a demonic hatred. a devilish hatred. That's not the hatred of God. God says, I hate you, but I want you to come back. I'll do everything to bring you back to myself, to my bosom. You see, that's a different story. Let's understand the difference between these two. And in this statement, he's explaining it. Either doing it with a cause or without a cause. And without a cause, that's demonic and satanic. And with a cause, that's godly. You see, if the cause is to bring you back to your senses, to heal you, to take care of you. And so that's what he says here. If you do it, you shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever says to his brother, Rakah means in Aramaic, actually, it's an Aramaic word. Rakah means empty. In other words, you are nobody. And people do it with contempt. You see? And that's what he's talking about. But some people are really nobodies. You know, they're empty-headed. You know, they're not willing to learn. They're fools. They're stupid by choice. That's what God says about his own people. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, you read in Hosea. And then he adds, why? Because you have rejected knowledge. So there are people who by choice are empty, empty-headed. And are willing to learn anything. Now, if you say that with that in mind, that's okay. That's the right cause. And then you want to help him. He says, you know, you're empty-headed. Let me fill you with, you know, truth and light and knowledge and illuminate you and, you know, make you understand so you don't, you know, suffer needlessly and things like that. So again, the statement with a cause or without a cause will make the whole difference there. And so he says, if you do that, you shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever says, you fool. Well, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians. You fools. You know, what's the matter with you? You don't understand simple things like that? That you must put the seed first in the ground and it must die before it comes up because they had a problem understanding the resurrection. You see, or David says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God, in Psalm 14, another place there. What does he mean by that? You know, is he under condemnation? Is that what Jesus Christ is talking about? So you have to discern and understand, you see. And so Christ says, but whoever says, you fool, you know, with contempt, with demonic, you know, spirit, not godly, you see, with a contemptible spirit, malicious, not seeking the good of someone, he says that person shall be in danger of hellfire, you see. And because, you know, it becomes like the devil, he just seeks your destruction, period. That's all. Well, obviously, he's going to join the rank of the demons, and therefore is going to be, you know, with them. Only being flesh and blood is going to be consumed. Let's go now to the Psalms. David, a man according to God's own heart, who understood the nature of God and understood the difference between hatred and love, and when he killed the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel, he did it with perfect hatred. You see? But with a righteous one also, not just a malicious one. And so let's read here from verse 19 in Psalm 139. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Well, God says, love your enemy. Well, that's not what he's talking about, because God is going to slay the wicked himself. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. That's the problem. For they speak against you, God, wickedly. You see? So understand the difference here. Your enemies take your name in vain. Well, he says in verse 21 here, do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? You see, hatred, here it is, righteous hatred. And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? As God says to his own people, I loathe you, I abhor you. You see, in essence, I hate you. Verse 22, he says, I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. What is he talking about? Is he a carnal-minded person, a hateful person, an evil person? Obviously not. He's conveying the nature and the mind and the thoughts and the feelings of God here. And we have to understand it. He's talking about pure evil. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ was talking about in his last message to his disciples in the Last Supper. And we'll end up with this statement here. In chapter 15 of the book of John, in verse 25, this is what he said, speaking to the Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. Speaking about the Psalms, that's the law, the Torah. They hated me without a cause. And that's the whole difference. Hatred without a cause is wrong. Hatred with a cause is right. And that's what David was saying. I hate them with perfect hatred. So when we fully comprehend and understand that, then we know the difference there. And hopefully with that in mind, then we can understand what we just read in in Leviticus 26. Well, anyway, I think we said enough about this subject, so we're going to go back now to Leviticus 27. And hopefully, you know, we're going to take time and think very deeply about it and grow in grace, knowledge and understanding, and comprehend that and develop the nature of God, not the nature of the devil, and understand the difference between love and love, hatred and hatred, anger, wrath, and all those things. And that means understand God, because if we're to be like Him and holy like Him, that's the part of the nature we must develop, absolute hatred of sin and evil. And if people become that way, as David said, I hate them with perfect hatred. And so now back to Leviticus chapter 27, verse 1, we read, "And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When a man shall clearly utter a vow of persons unto the Eternal according to your valuation, then your valuation shall be for the male from 20 years old even unto 60 years old, even the valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary." And we'll step at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph, greeting all of God's people. Until next time.